Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch Premier League, Women's Super League, Scottish Premiership and much more. Live on Sky Sports.
Can we chat about the playing days? And I'll try not to ask you questions you've been asked 6 billion times before in so many interviews.
You'll do well, John. I've answered them all.
Oh my God. What's the well, actually, on the playing days, is there a certain question that you roll your eyes every time and go, oh God, here we go again, this one?
Not really, no, because I'm dead long in the tooth now. I think I probably answered every question. Joel, let's see what you've got. Try me.
Okay. Look, well, I'm not going to bring up the white suits. We can chalk that one off as a reasonable start. Here's one you've definitely been asked before, but I just want your perspective on it. So, for maybe younger viewers who mightn't fully realise the impact you made when you started off, it was just insane. We have 40-year-old Graeme Souness. I'm sure you thought he was an old man. It's funny how time is. 40-year-old Graeme Souness giving 18-year-old Robbie Fowler his debut, just to give some of the highlights in those initial years. You had a hat-trick in just your fifth game. In your first 13 games, you scored 12 goals. You were PFA Young Players Player of the Year twice in a row. You scored 30-plus goals 3 years running, 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old. You're the youngest player still, by the way, in Premier League history to reach 50 goals. And you did lots of other nuts things. The hat-trick against Arsenal in 4 minutes, 33 seconds. I'm amazed that was ever broken until Mane did it recently. And that's
You've got me all flushed up
you're
now.
Blushing. And the thing is, they're just the bare stats. They don't capture, like, the excitement, the aggression you had, the quality you were bringing. I mean, geez, watching you striking a football was just outrageous. Do you know what I mean? There was just something gorgeous about it. And you scored such a variety of goals as well. That period is insane. What's your overriding memory of it? Is it just great times? Was it a bit, God, this is a bit much? Was it a mixture of everything? What is your memory?
You know what? It's amazing how quick it goes. And I think you mentioned Graeme Souness was 40 making my debut. And I think it was going to last forever. And, you know, all of a sudden you click your fingers and your career's gone. It's finished. So I loved every part of it. Certainly, right. Getting into the team. And I mean, you mentioned, you know, the theatrics. And I didn't realise the significance of... you know, my first game as a professional at Anfield, I'd made my debut against Fulham away in the League Cup. We won 3-1, played okay, scored a goal and the other two goals, and it kept me place. But my first game as a professional at Anfield was a 5-0 win, and I scored the 5 goals. So for a young lad to do that, honestly, I didn't realise the significance, and I didn't realise until much, in fact, I'd probably retired. I didn't realise the significance of it was my first game at Anfield. And for a young lad to do that, I mean, it sounds like really egotistically, but it's absolutely astonishing. It really is. And I mean, if someone was to do that now, an 18-year-old kid coming in and scoring 5 goals on the first start at Anfield, I mean...
The world would blow up.
I don't even know what to say, but look, I loved that. I played with good players and that certainly helps as well. Yeah. And I mean, I was quite lucky that, you know, I think with football, as much as everyone goes on about, you know, you're a talented lad and, you know, you're naturally instinctive and you're naturally, you know, gifted. I was naturally gifted because I'd done the monotony of doing the same thing over and over again in training. I think that's probably what goes amiss with me. And when you said before about questions you get asked, I mean, I'm always a little bit peeved off with that one. You know, you make it look easier. You're naturally gifted. I mean, I worked incredibly hard at my game. And this is what, you know, goes maybe against me as well, what you were saying before about because maybe you're jacked a lot of times. People didn't see how hard I trained and how hard I worked to go and score the goals I did. And those certainly first few years were absolutely incredible. And I would do it. And look, I'll be honest with you. I think injuries probably did play a major, you know, down, you know, probably a downfall in my career. But I was still okay. I was still scoring goals. Okay, not to the level I maybe started off. But I would back myself against anyone. Now, I probably at times don't probably get the recognition, you know, I probably warrant, you know, I warranted because, you know, I'm still, I'm in the top 10 of the Premier League goal scorers. You know, I'm Liverpool's, you know, top scorer. I mean, Salah's got to beat that the way he's going this season. I'm still Liverpool's top scorer in the Premier League era. Yeah. And you know, maybe I don't get the. Well, it's a little bit of a sob story, but maybe I don't get the forwards that I should be getting.
It's funny you say that, right? Because I agree with that, and I think what you suffer from is probably Wayne Rooney to a lesser extent suffers from it because he had more longevity than you had with the injuries. But there was a degree whereby when you do something so spectacular, so young, one, everyone assumes it was easy for you and it didn't take much work. And two, they think, God, where's he going to be in 10 years? It's only going to get better. Whereas if you had come on the scene and worked and gone well and between the ages of 26 and 30, you'd had these seasons where you're scoring 30 goals plus and you've blossomed into this amazing global star, then people would say, what a career. God, amazing. You know, God, how can you fault that? The fact that you did it early on probably goes against you, which isn't, it probably isn't very fair, but that's human nature. I suppose there's an assumption because at 20, you'll do it at 30.
Well, it happens. And I mentioned injuries. And I mean, for those who don't really know the extent of the injuries I had, I mean, I broke my leg when I got into the team. You know, I've had two major ankle operations. I've had a cruciate knee injury that was out for, you know, I had an operation on my right hip. I had a microfracture on my left hip. And obviously various back problems throughout as well. So I was probably unfortunate, the fact is that injuries did play a major part. Now, you know, you probably get a few players who will go throughout the career and not get injured. But maybe it was my, I'm not saying the other players haven't got the desire, but it was my desire to sort of get on the end of, you know, crosses into the box and go to places that, I possibly knew that was going to hurt me, you know, for your knee, your ankles, your broken leg. So maybe my desire and my determination and my will to, you know, to do well and score goals was, maybe that was to the detriment of, you know, my career in the long run, because, you know, there's probably been a few injuries caused by me wanting to do, a little bit more than what, than what was wanted.
People might think that my Munster hat is too Munster. Got to get into a position where we're rewarding form as opposed to credit in the bank.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
See, I was going to ask about the injuries. I knew about the cruciate ligament in 98 and I hadn't fully realised all the other stuff that was maybe you were juggling as well, because I was just jotting down the stats. And again, this is where it's a bit unfair to even mention them, but like, so you come on the scene and you're just absolutely phenomenal. And then I look at, say, the Leeds years, 01 to 06, and you think, you know, you kind of forget you're aged 26 to 31 in those peak years. Like, you were born the same year as David Beckham. He's having, you know, this is a glorious period in his career by comparison. So 26 to 31, peak years, Leeds and Man City, you score 42 goals in all competitions in 5 years. Like, for the 20-year-old you, that's like a season and a bit's work. Do you know what I mean? And I wonder, was that incredibly frustrating period, that Leeds Man City period, when you knew your body wasn't where you'd love it to be? What was that period like in your career?
Yeah, I mean, you probably nailed it. Just frustrating. Again, I was confident of doing well, and more so Leeds than Man City. I think my goals per games at Leeds was very good. I mean, I was 1 and 2, I think. 12 goals in 24 appearances. Man City, you know, it took me a while to get going, in all honesty, because, I mean, for whatever reasons, I don't really know. I mean, I wasn't comfortable going there at the start, but I felt as though I needed to, because Leeds needed me off the wage bill. Now, look, this is not me having a go at Man City. This is just me as an individual. You'll know yourself, when you're not comfortable, you know, doing something that you really want, then, you know, that maybe has an adverse effect in your performance. And, you know, I'll be the first to put my hand up and say, my first, certainly year at Man City was not good enough. I tried, I never down tools, or I never, you know, wanted not to do well. Now, I've never ever gone into the game and not wanted to be the best player on a pitch. That was just, you know, the attitude I had, and, you know, I think that's not a bad attitude. But my goals at Leeds were good. Man City, again, injuries, and my body just couldn't cope with it. And it's not me making excuses. There's reasons. There's a difference between reasons and excuses. I'm the first person, and I'll tell you if there's something's not right. And it's probably easy to make excuses. It really is. But there was reasons, and there were valid reasons. Whereas I was getting aches and pains. You're losing your place in various teams. It happened at Liverpool when I lost my place. I didn't enjoy it. I wanted to play all the time.
Well, could I jump in and say that? Because that's an interesting season, the 0-1 season, the Houllier season, yeah. I suppose. So Onan Heskey are to the fore. You still score 17 goals, I should add. Mm-hmm. League Cup final, you scored. But things like FA Cup final, you're a 77th minute sub. That UEFA Cup final, 64th minute sub. And so again, from the outside, I'm thinking, he's only 25 years old. 3 years ago, this guy was better than anything around. Yeah. 3 years ago, he's better than anything around. He's still only 25. Can you take us inside your head and your body? On the pitch across 2000 and 2001, were you as a player with those injuries? Was it just, did you not feel as sharp, as fast, as strong? How were you different?
2001, in all fairness, I was probably fine. Now, it's hard for you as a player to sort of realise that you're not the first choice. It really is. And I can't stress that enough. I wanted to play all the time. Now, obviously, I didn't notice at the time because, you're probably pig-headed and you are as a player. You're a little bit selfish. So you believe you should be playing all the time. Now, I did all the time. But now that I'm a manager, I fell out with, obviously, Gerard Houllier, and I fell out with managers who weren't playing me. Now, that's not me being horrible. That's me because I want to play. Now, what you've got to bear in mind, and you don't realise this at the time, is the manager has got a job to do, and he's got to pick the best team, what he thinks is going to win games and win trophies. And a large portion of time, I wasn't his choice. And it's hard to accept. So, when you've gone from where I was to sort of being a bit part player is probably wrong because, I still played, more than enough games. I still scored a lot of goals, more than played my part in that year. It was whenever there was a game that Gerard Houllier probably won, he went with his obviously partnership, which was Michael and Emil. And it was tough. It really was because I believed I was better than both of them. And people can say what they want. Sure. I was such a confident lad, and as much as injuries may have, I was still a back myself, and I proved that by the goals I scored when I did play. Now in that particular year was the League Cup final. I played and captained the side and scored a goal. The UEFA Cup final was I came on, scored a goal. The FA Cup final, I came on when we were 1-0 down. So I played my part, Joe, in that as well. So never mind the Michael Owen final. It was a Robbie Fowler final. That was it. But also, that last game of the season was a game against Charlton that we needed to win.
Yes.
To make that season unbelievably special. And, I played, started, captained the side and, scored two goals. And so it was a little bit of a bittersweet season. I loved playing my part and I scored goals and I was more than useful at times. But I would have loved to have played a bigger part. Again, purely selfish.
No, that's fine. I think in fairness to you, over the years, you've never done a hatchet job on Houllier. You've never said it's a disgrace. You've never sounded bitter, and yet I think if I was in your position, I just would be. Not maybe bitter at anyone, bitter about the injuries, bitter about how it worked out. I would be sitting on my couch watching the 05 Champions League final thinking, I'm 30, just gone 30. I would just be disgusted. I wouldn't be able to look at it. I don't know how you coped with all that.
Well, I was, funny enough, I was sat in the crowd thinking I should be playing it. Honestly, it was. But look, I think that when you are a footballer, there's got to be a little bit of realism involved. So you know that you're not everyone's cup of tea. Now, you mentioned, obviously, about my career with England. It's something that I don't really like talking about fondly because I never really had a good time playing for England because I never played. It's one of them. If you're playing and enjoying your football, then it's the best thing in the world. But if you're going to, into England camps and, World Cups and, European champs, you're not playing. That is feeling like a bit part player. And I never enjoyed that. So, even my stats for England, six or seven goals. I should know this, but goals.
I have it for you here. 26 caps, but only 12 starts, 7 goals.
12 start. Yeah, so, I mean, even that record is not bad. So, again, you know, you're updating this unbelievable, ethos about or ethic about yourself where you should be playing. But managers have, you know, different roles and different methods of how they want to play as opposed to what you want as a player. And again, they're putting the team out that they think will be. And look, if you're not in it, it is hard to take. But
I can imagine.
But what can you do? You can't really do nothing. You can't. It's not as though with England, you can go out there and you can train hard because the manager will have an idea of who we want to play anyway. I mean, just to put things into context, Joe. I mean, I made my Liverpool debut in '93. I made my England debut in '96. I'd scored almost 100 goals before I got my first cap. Nowadays, if you're in the Premier League and as an English player, if you score, you know, 2 or 3 goals, you're guaranteed a cap. But you know, we were so blessed with you know, a good quality of strikers. But I never felt I had maybe the chance that others. I know you'll probably get other forwards who can say the same thing as well. You know, the likes of Andy Cole. Ian Wright possibly as well. He's got, you know, a few caps, but I mean, Andy Cole's record for his clubs in the Premier League was astonishing as well. So he's probably feeling a little bit peeved as well by the amount of starts he had. But that's what we do. You know, not everyone can play. You know, the manager will have his own ideas, as I said. And okay, there's going to be a few disappointed players.
And did you feel? So I'm trying to think of the era. Did you think of, say, Venables, Hoddle, Sven? Of those three, did any of the three like you? Did you get a better sense off one of them as opposed to the other two? Or were you just kind of face never quite fitted, did you feel?
Maybe it just never fitted.
You never felt one of them was really kind of in your corner as such, liked you?
Not really, no. Well, look, I'm not sitting here having a go with them. I'm not saying they didn't like me, but they just maybe didn't think I was the player that, you know, other players were. You know, I think it's a little bit arrogant to me to think that you don't like me. No, I think, you know, I'm a likable lad.
As a player, I meant, not as a person. Who couldn't like you as a person? Come on.
I know, Joe, honestly. I'm so talkative. I will talk to anyone. But, you know, sometimes your face doesn't fit and there's other plans and England manager, you know, you're picking a team that you think will win. And I mean, I started 12 games? 12 games. I should have a lot more caps. So that's why I don't really like talking about my England career as fondly as what I should have done.
No, it's true. If you'd popped up 10, 15 years later, you'd have 80, 90 caps is the mad thing.
But not, it's one of them, Joe. It's when you're a player and you're going away with England and then you're in a hotel for, I don't know, maybe 10 days, 11 days is what it is now. And you're not playing. It's hard to sort of get your head around, you know, what we're doing here. You know, you're training knowing that you're not going to play. Mm. Okay, I mean that might happen to club side as well. But me I did play more for my clubs as opposed to the England side. So it was hard for me to sort of adjust to that.
Mm. And so not to get too philosophical for a Tuesday lunchtime, money doesn't buy happiness and all that kind of stuff. What has it been like to go from, you know, very normal upbringing to, you know, I guess compared to most men in the street, very wealthy, very comfortable for you and for your family? Does it bring a sense of comfort? Does it make no great difference? What impact does money make on a life, I suppose, is the question.
Well, I mean, it's an hard question to answer this because obviously it does help, doesn't it? You know, I think I've earned, you know, everything that I've got now, I've earned. I've worked hard for it and, you know, I never, ever want to throw it away. But I'm just still the same person. You know, I spoke before about, you know, ever since I got into the team, I've always looked after my family. And I'll look after the people who I love for as long as I live. And that's me as a person.
That must be a great thing to be able to do.
It's absolutely unbelievable. I know I've been in a position where I can do that. You know, I could do that. So, you know, it's what you've got to remember, Sally, is you know, me growing up. So my mum, my dad, you know, it split up before I was born, and we didn't have an awful lot, in all honesty. You know, right. what we probably had was okay, and you know, but it wasn't the most affluent, you know, upbringing that we had. But my mum worked hard. My dad, you know, done what he needed to do to try and get us to survive. And I knew as soon as I got money, I was going to, you know, help my mum. You know, I was going to help my nan, who's obviously no longer here as well. And because they were all always important in my life and my upbringing and the type of person I am. So, you know, they went out of the way to help me when I was growing up and, you know, give me things that, you know, buying football boots, you know, sometimes we probably couldn't afford them. And, my mum would go out and, you know, get me football boots when, you know, it was not necessarily I needed them. My dad done the same, but it was just a case of, look, you know, I'm giving back because yous have dedicated and sacrificed an awful lot, you know, in my aid, if you like, to become, this player.
Yeah. I've got some quick fire questions from fans as we wrap up. So I'll throw them at you in no particular order. Some of these I've snuck in myself, to be honest. First one is from me, so you can shoot this one right down. you're not going to like this one. Which Manchester United player from mid to late 90s, your era, would you have taken to Liverpool and why?
Oh, it's a good start, this one.
Like that one?
You know what? I mean, I love David James, right? I think David James was, a good mate of mine, but he's a great keeper. But I would probably, looking at that, I mean, I thought we had a great team, in all fairness. We were probably just a little bit behind Manchester United. Maybe Peter Schmeichel, right. That area, yeah. Is that a good answer for you?
I can't quibble with that. There's a few. Yeah, go on. Who else crossed your mind?
Roy Keane straight away because of the type of player he was and the leading on the pitch and leading by example. Probably Roy Keane and Schmeichel. So there's not one player, there's two players there.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you know what would jump out about the two of them? Loud on the pitch, a certain attitude. That 90s Liverpool team, the word mentality is often thrown at them a little bit.
Yes, and I mean, I hope it doesn't get throughout me that much because I mean, I went onto the pitch, you know, with the right mentality all the time,
yeah.
Always believing that we're going to win. What actually happened is we were a good team, but in all honesty, we were probably not as good as the team just down the road. So they were probably they probably were as more consistent than what we were. I mean, we'd probably lose against the so-called weaker teams that we should be with, whereas Manchester United would like steamroll them.
Right.
But whenever we played against the big guns, i.e. the Manchester Uniteds or the teams of that ilk, I mean, we sort of more than matched them. You know, we more than give them a game. So yeah, we proved that we could mix it with the best. But it was maybe the consistency of losing games against the so-called weaker teams.
Yeah, I could see how you'd bristle at the mentality thing, by the way, because I was even looking that FA Cup year, which again, you know, the headline news there is, oh, white suits, suspect mentality. But I was even looking against United that year. At Old Trafford, it was a 2-2 draw. You scored
2-2,
both goals.
And 2-0 at Anfield, yeah.
And you scored both goals. So four goals in two games against United. I could kind of get how you wouldn't necessarily welcome being told your mentality wasn't quite there. You know, big games, you're delivering there. So I get how you'd bristle a bit at that tag thrown at all of you.
Yeah, well, look, yeah, of course, people can throw it and people can say it. But not everyone in that team had a mentality problem. Some of them might have done. So some of them might have felt a little bit inferior. And I would like to think, they didn't. But, I mean, the way I think, and I said before, it's consistency. So
yeah, fair enough.
We were a good team. But, you know, put your hand up and say, the other team, we just knew how to get results better than what we did.
Now, I'm making a mess of this. This is meant to be quickfire, so I'm going to pick it up here.
I know. I was thinking that.
You've got to get your dinner soon at this rate. So we have... this is a tied-in question, so I've done this guy a disservice. Stephen Malone. I'll read out his question, and you've sort of answered it. He says, for Robbie, was there ever a season in particular you sat back, looked at the quality of the Liverpool players in the dressing room and thought, how did we not win the league this season? We've sort of touched on that, but I guess that's a question that comes your way.
Yeah, and it is. It's a valid question. I mean, there's obviously loads of great teams we've had. And I mean, it's funny, you're even thinking of the Liverpool team now, and you think of the great Liverpool teams of the past. I mean, all the great players and all the great teams that have had. Well, probably this team now, it's as good as any team that I've seen for Liverpool. And that's actually quite an astonishing thought, really, isn't it? Because when you think of the quality teams that certainly I played with, and you know, and even obviously the era before me, the 70s and the 80s, who were phenomenal. But I mean, I probably look at maybe the 95, 96, 96, 97 was probably my best team in terms of, you know, what we should have achieved more. I mean, I think we had a League Cup, and I mean, it's quite criminal for the players that we had, really, that we've only won that.
Where's that League Cup medal?
I'll have it upstairs, actually. I'm not a show pony, Joe. I've not got nothing on show, so it'll be upstairs in a box.
Right, okay.
You don't. We're all shirts and.
Okay, you don't have the players' player of the award in the bathroom, anything like that, no?
Nah, nothing on show. You wouldn't. To be fair, you walk around his house now, you wouldn't think I was a football player.
I know. Well, look at it behind you. You've no furniture. Is there a cup in that house?
Well, there is. You know what? And I said before, it was me tidying up because I knew I was doing it. And when you've got a house where you struggle to get Wi-Fi, you've got to try and find the best place, and this is it. So
listen,
it's quite clinical, and the wife is she's had the marigolds on and everything all morning trying to make it spotless. I've obviously helped her though.
Oh yeah, you missed a spot. So Dara Hayes, for Robbie Fowler, you scored the first goal I ever saw live at Anfield. This is the great thing, I guess, you know, you're talking about making people happy. So Dara Hayes, first goal I ever saw live at Anfield, and it was the 4-3 thriller against Newcastle in 96. Good man, Dara, you got a good game. Yep. Atmosphere is amazing. Which game do you remember as having the best atmosphere that you ever played in?
You know what, I mean, I would put that game up there, in all fairness. That was incredible. I mean, it was both two, you know, teams who wanted to win it more than the other one. It was, it was an incredible night. The game ebbed and flowed, and Newcastle at that particular time were brilliant, really, you know, brilliant players in obviously Ginola and Ferdinand and, you know, and a few other players. But we weren't too bad ourselves. But that game and that moment and that, you know, last minute winner. I mean, just the old place, not just the cop, but the old Anfield just erupted.
Shook.
And you know, certainly as a player, that would be up there.
Lola wants to know your greatest moment. This is a good one to finish on, because I've been a bit miserable with some of my questions, to be frank. What was your greatest moment as a Liverpool player?
Well, you know what, I think we touched upon it before as well. Now I think you've probably got a sense about me, and I'm very, very unegotistical, and records are good, and you know, it's great winning individual trophies and individual honours and scoring the amount of goals I scored. But probably one of my most proudest moments was that 2001 season. Now, I said before about a bittersweet, where we won every cup competition that we entered. But, you know, Liverpool as a club hadn't been in the Champions League for a few years. And we needed to beat Charlton last game of the season to get into those Champions League places. Mm. Leeds were playing, I think they were playing Ipswich, a relatively easy game for them. So we knew that we needed to win. So that moment where we beat Charlton and that just captioned off the season for us. I mean, that was an incredible year. So my proudest moment was not an individual moment. You know, it wasn't individual goals. It wasn't individual trophies. It was what we achieved that year as a team. And it was quite astonishing. It really was.
Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Such an interesting chat with you, Robbie Fowler. Hope we see you in a dugout again very soon. Thanks so much. And for all the honesty and the answers, it was a real pleasure. Thanks so much, Robbie.
Pleasure, mate. Thank you.
Cheers. That was Robbie Fowler. We were here with thanks to Cadbury FC, official global partner of Liverpool Football Club. And you can check out cadburyfc.com for updates on promotions and giveaways.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch every single live Premier League game on Sky Sports, BT Sport, and Premier Sports.